You would turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 11. I'm starting a series. It's going to last through the month of July. It's not going to last that long, but through the month of January, whatever month we're in right now, 4 weeks is what I've got planned for it. And it's a series about prayer. And I titled the message today, The Wonder of Prayer. Have you ever thought about prayer and how it really works? The power that's involved in talking with God and God working on your behalf? Have you heard great stories of prayer, of people praying and through those prayers seeing God work and God answer? One story I thought about just as the service was going on this morning was one Billy Graham told in his book, Angels. And his focus was more on the angels than on prayer in that book. But there was a missionary couple. They had a couple of kids with them that they were living, I think it was Borneo, somewhere in the Philippines. Back in the 60s, there were still native tribes there that were just as primitive as they'd been 500 years ago. And they did not like that a missionary couple was there on their land. And they had made that known. But one day, the missionary, the husband, looked out their window and noticed some of these natives in the brush around their home. And they were hidden and kind of camouflaged. But he noticed one. And as he started looking, they were surrounded by them. 35 or 40 of these native warriors, and it was just him and his wife and two small children. And they knelt down and began to pray. And they prayed all through the night. And the next day they got up and those warriors were gone. And sometime later, a year and a half later, this missionary had the privilege of leading that chief to Christ and much of the tribe to Christ. And he asked the chief, after he had baptized him, he said, "Can you tell me something?" The chief said, "Yes." He said, "The day that you had my home surrounded, why didn't you attack?" And the chief said, "You had the biggest men around your home with swords like I've never seen before. We couldn't win." And he said, "I didn't have anybody around my home." And the chief's like, "Oh, yeah, they were, you know, well over 6 feet tall, big men, fearsome looking. And it was angels that God had placed around that home to protect that family because they were praying." You say, "Man, I wish I had a prayer life like that. I wish that I had that kind of power in prayer." But I want you to see today as we get into this, the wonder of prayer. Let me read the scripture. And this thing's got turned off on me. There we go. Let me read that scripture. And we'll go to God in prayer, and then we'll get into the study of it. It says, he was praying there, chapter 11, verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." He said to them, "Whenever you pray, say, 'Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation.'" Now let's go to him in prayer. Father, teach us this word today and teach us by your Spirit, through your power. Lord, teach us what it is to know you and to have this relationship with you in prayer. And Lord, we'll give you praise and thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, when we start talking about prayer, the wonder of prayer, you've got to ask the question, what is prayer? Prayer is very simply communication with God. It is talking with God. And that is both talking to God and hearing back from Him. And so I've never heard the voice of God. Well, you're probably not going to. But when you hold the Bible in your hand, you're hearing from God. And as you pray and talk with God, you will begin to hear God say, "Go this direction. Lord, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know what to do about whatever it is. And you'll begin to feel God telling you, leading you in a certain direction. And God communicates with us. But more than that, it is prayer is a relationship building conversation with God. You can have conversations with people. If you go to a certain coffee shop, you may talk to whoever the barista is, and you have a conversation while you're waiting on your coffee to get made and brought out to you, but you don't really know anything about that person. You're not building a relationship with them. But one of the things my dad told me when I was a teenager, he said, "You've got to learn to talk to girls." And I said, "Well, I thought I kind of figured that out," but I learned more of what he was talking about. If you don't talk to the girls, you can't ask them out. And if you don't talk to them when you take them out, they don't go out with you again. You got to learn how to talk to somebody. When you're in a relationship with anybody, you have a conversation. You learn about each other as you talk. Prayer is a relationship building conversation. It's not just asking God for the things we need. It's talking with God and listening to God and asking for those things that only our Father can give us, asking for the wisdom or insight that we need, asking for the things that are a part of His kingdom and lifting up the people that we love and care about. I'm starting this because, and I'll take just a very brief moment to mention this, but as I said earlier, I've got plans for us to try to speak with every home in this community. This year, I would like to try to get everyone within a one-mile radius of this community. I don't know if we'll be able to do that or not, but I do expect that by this time next year, we will have made a big dent in that and shared the gospel with them, talked with them, invited them to church, or see if they are a part of another church. I want to build a relationship with the people around us, and I want to be able to share the gospel with as many as we can. But we cannot share the gospel effectively if we do not pray. Every revival, every great work of God was preceded by people that were praying. It didn't just happen. A friend of mine that just driving down the road, he said God just jumped on him and he gave his life to Christ that day. And he had resisted for years. And the way that he tells it, it was just that all of a sudden God did that. I said, "No, we've been friends for 7 or 8 years, and I've been praying for you for that time. God's been working in you all that time." God, everything that we do must be preceded by prayer. If it's not, then we could have done it on our own, and God doesn't get any glory out of that. But have you ever realized that prayer makes no sense? It makes absolutely no sense. Not to the pagans that are out there, the ones that don't know Christ. I don't use that term pagan in a derogatory way, just those that don't know Jesus. Prayer doesn't make any sense to them. I've talked to people after going through some hard times personally, or I've seen others go through these terrible times, and what happens a lot of times, somebody will ask you, how did you get through that? So, well, I prayed a lot. God, I talked with God a lot about that, and God brought me through it. You'll get a couple of responses oftentimes. One is, well, meditation's a really good thing for you. So, no, I didn't meditate. I talked to God. Or you'll hear people say, well, it's really good. That's great to put that good energy out into the universe, out into the world. No, prayer's not good energy. It's not positive thinking. Positive thinking's important, but prayer is not positive thinking. Prayer is talking with the living God that made me. You hear Christians today, I've heard Christians tell me things like, well, I think it's selfish for me to pray for myself. I'll pray for other people, but I don't think God wants me to pray for myself. But Jesus is teaching them to pray, and He tells them, pray for yourself here. Pray for God to provide for you. Some will say, well, I just don't think God wants to hear from me. He's got more important things to do. No, He doesn't. Where God is concerned with you, you are the most important thing to Him in the world. God wants to hear from you. Do you have any children that you don't, or let me rephrase that, do you have any grandchildren that you don't want to hear from? Y'all with me? No, you don't have any grandchildren you don't want to hear from, do you? God wants to hear from you. He wants to talk with you. And the craziest thing about prayer that makes no sense to me is that what difference can my prayer make? God doesn't need my wisdom. He doesn't need my input on anything. He doesn't need me to help him do anything. But yet he calls me to pray. And when I pray, and when you pray, there's an impact. How does that work? I don't understand all that, but it does. Now, it's a wondrous thing to me in that, but what I've got there on the screen, I don't understand it, but I know that from Genesis to Revelation, we are called on to pray. We're told to pray. Our coming to God pleases Him immensely. I can't tell you how much it pleases God for you to spend that time with Him. And y'all are kind of looking like I'm talking about tithing this morning. Y'all lighten up a little bit, okay? I don't know if everybody's tired or what it is, but here's another wonder of prayer, one of the great wonders of prayer. Jesus taught them to pray. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples." Now, they were not saying, "Lord, teach us to pray like John prayed." They had been with Jesus for some time now, and they realized that every time he went off alone, prayed, that there was some. And if they were near the temple, they could go to the temple three times a day and pray. They could have their own time in prayer, and it just didn't seem to have the impact that Jesus praying had. You say, "Well, you know, he's Jesus. Of course he could pray better than I can." And you know that, but no, that wasn't it. It was the relationship. Jesus, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he immediately began teaching them to pray. Now, what he taught them in this prayer, if you're used to the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew, the one here out of Luke sounds a little choppy. They're the same prayer, but a few things left out that are included in Matthew. But Jesus told them, when you pray, he gave them a pattern, and that's what this is. When you pray, say, "Father." I had a man argue with me about this one time. I was teaching on prayer, and I said, when you pray to God, he says to say, "Father." So when you start that prayer, start it as "Father." And this man argued with me. I believe you need to start it with "Lord." I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you what it says right there. And not that you can't start your prayer with "Lord," but Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Father." Why? Because there's not many things that are going to get my attention any quicker, many names that are going to get my attention any quicker than "Dad." Especially when my kids were little. And there was a tone of voice a lot of times when they said "Dad," that meant somebody was in trouble. They needed help somewhere. That got your attention, didn't it? Got my attention. When you pray, say, "Father." He is the song that we just sung about. That we just sung, he is the good, good Father. How do I know that if I don't talk to him? God wants this time with you. He taught them relationship. He said, when you pray, say, "Father." When you pray, say, "Your name be honored as holy, and your kingdom come. Lord, your name be lifted up in praise." Is it easy for you to praise God? I know that if I were to say we're going to have just a popcorn praise, everybody just, you know, stand up and give a praise, there wouldn't be many standing up. When I ask in prayer meetings, do we have any praises, I'll get responses like, "Well, the weather was pretty today," or "It's not supposed to rain tomorrow," or something like that. But praise is about who God is. Through that relationship, I know Him, and I've seen what He's done in me, or I see what He's doing in me. And it makes a difference. We're in that, because of that relationship, I can see Him working, and I want to be a part of His work. Your kingdom come. There's a relationship that is there. He also taught them dependence. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation. God, I need You to provide even the food that we eat. Lord, You know the things that I'm going to need today. Give those things to me today. And name those things to Him. Because, Lord, I depend on You. Lord, give me direction. Send me where I need to go. Father, forgive me of my sins. We like this part, forgive me of my sins. We don't like the second part, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. I'm quick to ask God to forgive me of my sin. I'm not sometimes not as quick to forgive somebody else of theirs. And I need God to help me with that. I'm dependent on Him. And do not bring us into temptation. God never tempts us to fall away from Him. But He does put us through trials and tests that strengthen our faith. And Lord, don't let me go toward that temptation. I need You. What we're talking about here is trust or faith. Now, a lot of times people will say, the more faith I have, the more God works. But that's not the case. It's not about your faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to be moved, cast into the ocean, and it'll be done. That faith is the smallest seed, that mustard seed, the smallest seed in the garden. Jesus is talking about little faith, but He's really saying there that my faith is not nearly as important as His power. So when I ask for great things, even when I'm hesitant, God can work in tremendous ways. One of the things I'm praying for, and I've been praying for the last three months since October, is that during this crusade that our association will have in September, that we will see thousands come to faith in Christ. If we do that, it's going to change the face of our churches. So I've been praying for our churches to be prepared and ready. Part of the work that I want to do this year is to get us ready. But the work itself is going to be futile if we don't bathe it in prayer. God is wanting to do some work here. God is wanting to do work in this church, in this region, in this world, I truly believe. Because He is such a good Father. And the more we talk with Him, the bigger, the better the relationship is that I have with Him, the easier it is for me to ask for the things that I know are going to please Him, that I know are going to make Him happy. If you're teaching a child how to be a mechanic, maybe a young teenager, how to be a mechanic or a carpenter or whatever the trade is you have, and that kid comes up and he's got a good idea, and you know that it needed to be done already. It wasn't an original idea. You already knew this needed to be done. But you see that kid say, I think we need to do this to this engine in this car, and it'll make it that much better. And the dad goes, yes, my boy. You know, that he's learning. When my son worked with me building cabinets several years ago, I didn't think he learned a thing because he was 15, 16 years old, and I was the dumbest person in the world, and he was the smartest at that time. But when he got married and got his own house, he remembered how to do a lot of that stuff that we learned, that I taught him. It took a few years, but I was able to say, okay, he did learn. You know, he does know that. God wants us to work with Him in faith, in trust. And as we do that, we learn more and more of who He is and what He's wanting, what God is doing, and we're joining Him in that work. And God is pleased in that. There's one last thing I want you to see. If if prayer is based on our relationship with Jesus, if it's based on knowing Him, then how is our relationship with Jesus developed? Well, I came across this verse. It may have been earlier this week or maybe back before Christmas as I was beginning to study some about prayer. But it's this verse in 2 Samuel 7:18. The situation there is David is now king in Israel. He's king of the entire nation. It says that he has conquered their enemies. He's pushed their enemies back where his people are safe. And he's telling Nathan the prophet, I've built a cedar house for me to live in, but the ark of God is living in a tent. And I want to build a house for God. And Nathan initially said, hey, do whatever God's put on your heart. But God spoke to Nathan that night and told him, look, it's not for David to build me a house. But here's what I'm going to do for David. His son is going to build me a house. But I'm going to do this for David. Because it wasn't necessarily God that put that in David's heart. It was David's heart for God. This isn't right. I'm living in a nice home and God's ark is dwelling in a tent. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a dynasty. As long as Israel lives and there's a king in Israel, you will never not have a son sitting on the throne. And folks, Christ is coming back one day and he is going to sit on that throne in Israel. And David, blown away by this, when Nathan comes back and tells him this, he's humbled by it. And it says there that then King David went in, sat in the Lord's presence and said, and there's a lengthy prayer there of praise that he lifted up to God. But I want you to see this verse and break it down just a little bit for you. David went in, that would be in the tabernacle where the ark was, and he sat down there. And so look at what I've got here. When he sat down there, he came to stay there a while. Developing any relationship with God takes time. Any relationship with anybody takes time. You may meet somebody and just feel like you clicked and you know each other well after one conversation, but if you spend some time with them, you realize maybe, you know, I didn't know them as well as I thought I did, or I didn't know this about them or that about them. Developing any relationship takes time. David went in that day to sit in the presence of God. And the idea of sitting is that he went in and he stayed there. He went in with the intention of sitting there and staying there a while. I always enjoy when somebody stops by to see me at the office. Whenever you can catch me here, you come by to see me at the office and talk a little while. And most days I'm very happy for you to come in and sit down and just spend some time with me. But every now and then I might be in the middle of studying or I might be in the middle of something that I'm working on, and somebody comes in and sits down and I say, oh Lord, they sat down. They're going to be here a little while. But that's all right. I'll put everything aside and spend that time with them. David sat down in the presence of God. I'm going to be here a little while. What does your prayer life look like? How long does it take you to pray in a day? And let me ask you this. Do you have a time that you set aside to spend with God? Whether it's 15 minutes or 30 minutes or longer. To tell you a little bit of what God has done and did in me back in October, I believe it was, that I knew my prayer life was not where it should be. And I kept saying, Lord, tomorrow morning I'm going to make sure that I stay here and spend more time in prayer, but there was always something coming up or something that caught my attention or something. And one day God said, 5 a.m., there at your desk. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll be there at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. A few days went by, and I said, Lord, how about 6? And he said, no. And I even had a few nights where I changed my alarm to 6 and laid down to go to sleep, and God said, I'll change it back. And I had to roll over and change it back to 5. He wants me there for some reason at 5 o'clock every morning. Don't know exactly why that is, other than there's nothing else to distract me. It is time that I can spend with Him as much as I want to, as much as I'm able to. You don't have to come to God at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I would encourage you to set a time, whether it's morning or evening, that you sit down with God, and that is your time with Him. And you don't let anything else interrupt that. You need to sit in the presence of God. And that's the second thing there, is that David sat in the presence of the Lord. The idea of presence there is, direct translation is face to face. Stephanie and I had a discussion about Zoom meetings with the staff meeting. You know, we want to try to get a staff meeting together beginning first of the year and moving on, just so we're looking at the month together and making sure we're all on the same calendar and everything's right. And she said, we can do it with Zoom meetings. And I said, no, I want face-to-face. I want to see the reaction of somebody. I want to be able to I know you can see it on the computer, but face-to-face, so we're in each other's presence. Because we need that time building each other, building up that relationship together. You're in the presence of God. There's not a mediator. There's not a curtain that's blocking you from seeing God or Him from seeing you. You are there with Him face to face. That's an incredible thing. I couldn't walk into the Oval Office and sit down and see the president. Visit with the president. Donald Rumsfeld, I think he was chief of staff for George H.W. Bush, told a story about people that were supporters and friends of President Bush, and they had helped him get elected and worked really hard for him, and then he seemed to be going some ways they didn't really like, so they called Donald Rumsfeld and started saying things like, George has got to get himself straightened out. This is not right. You know, he promised us this, and he's doing that, and George has got to do this. And Rumsfeld said, well, do you want some time with him? Yes, I can give you 15 minutes on this date at this time. I'll be there. I'll tell him what I'm thinking. And of course, he briefed the president on the conversation. And after the conversation was over, Rumsfeld asked the president, how did that go? And he laughed and he said, we didn't even talk about the concerns. He said, was he kind of rude to you? No, it was Mr. President this and Mr. President that, because he was sitting in the White House in the Oval Office, and it overcame him when he came in and he forgot all that stuff, and this friend of his was now Mr. President. And that respect was given. You're in the presence of God when you pray. He invites you into that. And it's Jehovah, the living God, the one and only God. He is welcoming you in to His presence. And there are a lot of things in this, in talking about prayer, that we could go into here. A lot of things about the being in the presence of God, where that word is used many, many times in the Scriptures, but I think this is the only time that it says someone came and sat in the presence of God. But you get that privilege, that opportunity every day, all day, anytime. And I really think this is the first part of prayer. Because down several verses into this, David said, because of what you have done, I now have courage to come and pray this prayer to you. The more time you spend with God and know that He has invited you in, the more courage you will have, the more comfort you will have. This is the beginning, the first part of prayer. It's the wonder of prayer, that I can sit there in His presence and talk to Him about anything and everything. It's not done out of pride or arrogance. It's possible because of God's grace and mercy. because of His blood that He invited me in. I don't think I could get in to see the governor. Just walking into the office, I doubt I could get to the same floor that he's on in the Capitol building. I probably couldn't even get in to see the mayor of Monroe without making an appointment. But I can go and talk with God anytime. All day, every day. There's a lot that we're going to talk about how to pray. Next week, I want to talk about the worship of prayer. The praise and the lifting up God that we do in prayer. The week after that, the work of prayer. There is a tremendous work that is done in prayer. And then the witness of prayer. How God makes himself known through our prayers. But here's where I want us to begin. If you're saying today, I don't have that relationship with God, what God is saying to you today is start talking with me. I'm right here. You may say, well, I don't know the right words. You don't need to know King James English. Monroe English will do. Okay, where we are, however you speak, that'll do. Talk with God. So I don't understand the scriptures. That's okay. Talk with God and read the scriptures and ask him to explain it to you, and he will. So I don't have time. I would tell you to make time, because it is the most important thing you can do is to pray for somebody. Now, I will warn you that the closer you get to God, the longer that prayer time is going to be. And the more people you're going to have on your prayer list. But that's more impact you're having in this world. We say, all I can do is pray, but folks, prayer is the first place we need to start. That's the foundation of everything. And nothing is more powerful than prayer. The man that taught me a lot about prayer talked about having prayer teams in the church, three-person teams, and he said, if you get these teams together and let them begin praying together, after a couple of months, add in them praying for the lost. And he got a look in his face like he was cheating somebody at cards or something almost, just because he got a little smile and a twinkle in his eye, and he said, here's the thing, you can't pray for somebody to be saved and not go tell them about Jesus. He said, you either stop praying or you start going and telling them, and you've been praying for this person for weeks now, and so God's already preparing that heart. God works through prayer. He wants you building this relationship with him. When Tracy and I got married, I thought I knew everything about her. 36 years later, I don't know everything about her yet. It's an amazing thing that God has given us. You are never going to exhaust that time with God where I know everything about him. No. He's calling you to this. If you're thinking, well, it's not for me, then you're wrong. It is. He's calling you to this. And this is where your strength, you're becoming more and more like Jesus comes from, is right here in prayer. So I'm going to ask you today, will you commit yourself? We are going to begin prayer teams, two or three person teams, that you just commit to pray for each other daily and pray together once a week. And you're praying for others, and you'll begin praying for the lost. If you'd like to be a part of that, we'll have a sign-up sheet next week to be a part of that. But God wants you with him, the Bible open, because he loves you and wants to spend that time with you. Will you commit yourself to that today? Maybe that you're here and you don't know Him. Knowing Him comes first, but it starts with prayer as well. Lord, save me. I've been going the wrong direction, and I need You to now change me. Let me be born again and save me. And God will do that immediately. All the other things will begin to fall into place when we get those two things right. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. However God's leading you today, whatever He may be saying to you, we're going to pray, and then we'll have a song that's, we call it an invitation song. If God's dealing with you about something, you want to come to the altar and pray, come do that. If you can't kneel at the altar and want to sit on the front rows, do that. If you need to turn to somebody and talk with them about something, whatever it is God's leading you to do, be obedient to Him. And if you want to trust Christ today, come talk with me. If you're not going to walk down this aisle, get me on the way out. But talk with me and let me know. Talk with somebody today and tell them you want to trust Jesus. Father, we thank You for this relationship that You give us, the blessing that we have in You. Lord, I thank You that You love me the way that You do. Lord, right now, I pray for each one of us that we'll commit to that time with You in prayer. That time that's just between You and I. Father, have Your way right now in this invitation. Whatever You've been saying to anyone, Father, I pray that we will each one be ready to say yes to You. Father, it's in Your name we pray. Amen.